Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is the Gospel lesson, Matthew 22, 1 through 14, the parable of the wedding garment, and I'll quote it as we go. Without repentance, there's no forgiveness. But it's easy to get confused about that. Partly because Satan tells us that repenting means walking around with all your sins piled on you, saying, "Lord, I'm gross, I'm sorry, I'm so gross." Until he hopes we follow Judas into spiritual suicide. In a lesser version of that, when there's some disobedience that we're holding on to, we slap our hands and say, "Bad, bad." But you notice we've still got our grip on that disobedience. You see, we also get confused about repentance because part of us wants to be confused about it. So instead of actually repenting, we just say sorry, meaning sorry you don't like this, Lord, because it's what I'm going to do. As if the guy without the wedding clothes had said, "Sorry you don't like this outfit because it's what I'm going to wear." No, repenting means turning from sin to Jesus, who forgives. But first, it is surprising how few people realize that if you went to a wedding reception in the Italian Renaissance, you were supposed to bring your own knife and fork. Really, really. If a host had provided all the silverware for everybody, they'd have been amazed at his extravagance. These days, of course, if you're invited to dinner, word to the wise, don't bring your own silverware. It's because it'd be weird and actually insulting, you know, like, "I brought my own." You know, and it's like coming to God with your own goodness. "I brought my own." Now, on the other hand, when you're invited to dinner, do bring your own clothes. Yeah, that's our custom, which is why we're amazed at the extravagant custom of first century Judea, where if a rich man invited you to a wedding reception, you weren't supposed to bring your own clothes. It's not that you showed up naked, but not in anything special. It was a way of honoring your host by admitting you've got nothing fit for so grand an occasion. So what then? Did everybody sit around in their grungies? No. Now, wearing grungies everywhere to show that we honor nothing but our own comfort is a modern custom. And when I find out whoever started it, pow. Now, in the first century, you came in nothing special, and then you changed into extravagant wedding clothes provided by the host waiting for you in the lobby as you came in so that you could walk on in looking fabulous. Putting on those robes was part of the celebration, and I think it was a brilliant custom, especially if, like the Lord Jesus, you got a lot of friends with bad taste who will wear anything if we can get into it, and there's no telling what we'll get into. And it's most especially brilliant if, like the Lord Jesus, you've got a lot of really poor friends who really don't have anything fit to wear in front of him, but you still want them to walk in looking fabulous. To walk into what? To a banquet where all the water has been turned into wine. To a feast, forgiveness of all sins included, with eternal life, fullness of joy, eternal pleasures at his right hand, and resurrection from the dead, all expenses paid. It starts here and now in the kingdom of heaven in this world by the word of God, sacraments of God, the Spirit of God. The first course is already being served, and I'll tell you, if knowing Jesus now, if this is just the fruit cup, what is the main course going to be like? Jesus says, verse 1, it's like a king has arranged a marriage for his son, sent out his servants, to summon the ones who were invited. It's like this king. He's got this huge happiness in his private life, and he wants you in on it. Because the Holy Father, Holy Son, and Holy Spirit do have this huge happiness in their private life, and we're invited into things no eye has seen, no ear has heard, things that have never entered the mind of man. And since he is the host and very, very rich, verse 4, everything is ready. What can you bring? Bring yourself. But what have we got to wear? For that matter, he's here now. How do we come into his presence here without the roof falling in? And who shall stand in his holy place? He already told us that even our righteousness, even the best things about us, they're rags that aren't fit to wear in front of him. And as for all the worst things about us, we got to change into better clothes. And it's all part of the celebration, because what God has got ready for me to wear really is extravagant. God has provided his own son's most holy life and his own son's holy death for you to wear, dressed like Christ, as if you had lived his life and died his death. And it's way too good for me, but God says, put it on. It was made for me, because God knows that left to myself, I am dirt poor spiritually, and that I've got some really bad taste for some things I get into. God knows, and he still wants us looking fabulous. Fabulous enough to fit in with him. Fabulous enough to fit in with him here, to belong with him, and in heaven as well. It's like inviting the prodigal son, come as you are, and then put on a robe and a ring for the party. Put off what you've done. Put on what Jesus did for you. That's repenting. Off with the grunge, on with the gorgeous, ready to celebrate. And you never wear it out, because his mercies are new every morning, every day. Renounce whatever sins, like you don't even know them anymore. Repenting really is part of the celebration. Slip out of whatever you've gotten into, as if that were allowed. It is. And put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Slip into righteousness that is not your own. Righteousness from God, in which, if we will just put it on, as in, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, we will never be told to leave. Whereas, if we stay in our own stuff, the King is coming in the clouds with power and great glory. If we insist on keeping whatever sin, when the King comes in, he'll tell his angels, verse 13, tie them up and throw them out. The reality is bigger than the parable. I've never seen anybody tied up and thrown out of a wedding reception in Massachusetts. In Maine, maybe, but at any earthly reception, it's not as though, whatever the venue, that outside it's all howling darkness. But when the King comes, his kingdom that is all but hidden in the world, this venue will suddenly become enormous. And there'll be nothing but thine the river, thine the tree, then the Lamb eternally, thine the splendor, thine the brightness, only thee, and outside, nothing but a small dark prison with tiny shriveled inmates, verse 13, tied hand and foot and crying in the dark with gritted teeth. Change up. In the parable, verse 10, when the banquet hall was filled with guests, the King came in to see his friends all looking so fabulous. And then verse 11, he saw a man there who wasn't wearing wedding clothes. In reality, the banquet hall isn't filled up yet. People are still coming into God's kingdom all around us. I'm here. You're here. Have you changed? I don't mean, are you improved? For sure, if we drop our rags, Christ will change us inside while we wear his robes. It's supernatural. But he's not talking here about the change inside. Anyway, you can't take off what's inside. So I'm not asking, are we still sinful? We are. I'm asking, are we still in our sins? Which means something particular. It's not when you don't do right. It's when you just won't. It's not when you sin. It's when you will not drop it. It's not sinning. It's planning to sin. I cannot tell him, this is what I like, get used to it. When he comes, he must not find me insulting him. Whatever the sin, drop it. And I can tell you, I do drop it. But sometimes it bounces right back up like a rubber ball. You too? I know. But there is a difference between a ball and a yo-yo. See, with a yo-yo, you intend to get it back. So what I'm asking is, are you keeping the string on your finger? Whatever sin it is, doesn't matter, gambling or gossip, being jealous of somebody, refusing to forgive somebody, being stingy, being sexually impure, dodging devotions, or finding out who can text the crudest, or the cruelest, or the coolest. With a yo-yo, you're planning on getting it back. But the Holy Ghost says, children, make no plans to satisfy the sinful nature. You stay with Christ, and the sinful nature's not going to be around that long. We got to take the string off our finger, even if it hurts. You need room on that finger for a ring. But as Jesus says, verse 14, many are called, but few are chosen. Does that mean that many are invited, but few are really wanted? No! It means that many are invited, but few can be bothered. Some can't be bothered to come, and some can't be bothered to get changed. Why? Sometimes we think that our sin makes us look good, and it does. Good enough to eat, and the devil is looking for someone to devour. Take it off. Somebody says, I'm comfortable like this, which is another thing to repent of. The Holy Spirit says that sin is like vomit, so how bad has it gotten that I can be comfortable in vomit? Take it off. Somebody says, I got to be me. But I swear to you, by God's grace, we don't have to be what we've been. We don't have to be what we think we are. We don't have to be what Satan says we are. You can become the real you. And step one is taking off the sin costume. Verse 12. The king asked him, friend, how is it you came in here without wedding clothes? Why aren't you ready to celebrate? But he was speechless. He couldn't say, I didn't know there was a robe for me. He passed right by it. He didn't say, I couldn't get out of this. I tell you, if he'd wanted to get out of it and just couldn't, the king himself would have gone out to the lobby to get him and washed him and robed him and led him in by the hand. That's the story of my life. So how does anybody come in insulting at all in their grunge? Well, if that man was ever nervous about the king coming, he got over it. If he had a conscience, he got over it. If he had a heart, he got over it. If he had a brain, he got over it. God help us, we get over it, and then unrepented sin turns mortal, and if we ever were bothered, we're not bothered anymore. The Holy Spirit says minds go dark, hearts get so hard it makes them ignorant. He says they lose all sensitivity until that man could go to a royal wedding with everybody robed in splendid robes, him sitting there cool as a corpse in his grunge, oblivious, or maybe even feeling superior toward the others who are acting like it's this big deal. The king saw him and said to him, friend, how? And then the king said, tie him up hand and foot and throw him out, beloved. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put off the deeds that are done in the dark. Take off our sin and throw it away as if it weren't even ours at all. Because God has already said, no, that's my son's sin. God already laid on him all human grunge. Whatever you or I've gotten into, Christ already put it on. He wore it on the cross. Behold, the Lamb of God, dressed up like me. Look at him, wearing that sin that's hurt you. Look at him, nailed hand and foot, pinned hand and foot, tied hand and foot in the dark and crying with gritted teeth, instead of you, instead of me. He loves us He wore our sins so we don't have to wear it. So we can take off the sins that so easily entangle and run. Somebody says, but they just grow back from inside. I know. So do your fingernails. But just because we grow them doesn't mean we've got to keep them. Just because we grow them doesn't mean we've got to keep them. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, and however many times we've gotten into it, get out of that grunge, step into the shower. Your baptism is still running and your robe's still here because the feast is still on and you are still invited. And I know, as I say, that lots of people can't be bothered to come, can't be bothered to change, can't be bothered. But you haven't got that option because the Holy Ghost has already bothered you. So consider yourself chosen. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I'll never turn away. And it's as simple as, Lord, I do repent. Help me repent and forgive me. And in that instant, behold, thou art fair. There is no stain in thee. You have clothed yourselves with Christ with clean hands and a pure heart, namely his, to ascend the hill of the Lord right here and to stand in his holy place forever and dance at the reception. See, he knows we haven't got anything fit to wear. But he still wants to watch us walk in on infinite pleasure and fullness of joy, looking fabulous, looking like the Son of God. In fact, he insists on it. Amen.